Hello, this is Carlin. Just wanted to give everyone a friendly reminder that Brutal Battle is currently up for a podcast award through podcastawards.com. We're under the food and drink category, as would make sense. So please, please find it in your heart to go out there. Give us some votes. When you do vote, like I said, we're under the food and drink category. You'll have to put your email address in as well as your name. They'll then send you an email to that email address just to verify that you're a human being, not some computer, or not a person putting in email addresses that don't exist. So look for that email. You then have to click a link in there to actually confirm the vote. For me, when I did it, it went to my junk folder, so just be on the lookout for that. Also, you can vote once every 24 hours, so if you'd be so kind as to go ahead and vote for us once every 24 hours, we would love it. Also, if you could get other people involved, you know, just go to some friends and say, hey, there's this fun podcast. I was wondering if you could help me out, vote for it. Because one of the big things is we wouldn't just be happy to win a podcast award for the sake of winning a podcast award. One of the things that could really help us out with is when we contact breweries. You know, I try to contact them to see if they'll send beer in. And a lot of times these are breweries that, you know, they're not in the state. They're not in our distribution area. I don't really have any way to get their stuff. So otherwise, they're not going to be on the show. So if we can say in our introductory email, you know, we're an award-winning podcast, I think it would be more likely for breweries to send stuff in. But also in cases where we might want to go to a brewery and do like a special tour or do an interview, something like that, it just opens up a lot of doors that could, you know, create some really good content for the podcast. So it would benefit us. It would benefit you. So please go ahead and give us a vote every 24 hours up until March 25th. You can do it every 24 hours. Thank you so much. And here is the show. And welcome to episode 104 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, that's yet another new voice. We're always having new people on the show. We're constantly improving on ourselves at this show. It's one new person after another, new person after another. And since we're in the hundreds in the episodes, we're going to keep getting all sorts of new people. And the newest person is actually my neighbor. And your name, sir?
Sean Finn.
This is Sean Finn, and we're not going to get into it on this episode, but he is, he is a home brewer. Some people assume I'm a home brewer because I'm so much into craft beer. I'm not a home brewer. I did one batch, and I would consider it a failed batch because it was not very good, but, you know. Anyway, I warned Sean about this, and I always feel weird doing it around new people, but it is time for something we always do on the show. Hop knowledge. Yep. Everyone always has to have like some sort of like giggle type reaction to it. Because it's a little silly, but it's what we do here. So the hop I'm going to read about today is the Pilgrim Hop variety. This was a hop that was released in 2000 by the Horticultural Research Institute at the College of St. Gregory and St. Man at Y College. And that's Y spelled W-Y-E. It's a sibling to both First Gold hops as well as Herald hops. Pilgrim hops is the oils are relatively balanced, and it's compared to both Target and Challenger style hops because of that balanced nature of it. It's sought after because of its very floral hoppy aromas, herbal hoppy aromas, and it's used a lot apparently in the perfume industry, believe it or not. Which, when I read that, I was like, I've never, ever in my life heard of a hop being used in the perfume industry. But it makes a whole lot of sense to me.
It makes sense, yeah.
I mean, you smell hops all the time, and the aromas that come off are very pungent a lot of the times.
Right, right.
And there's such a range, so why wouldn't it be used? Because what do they do for perfume? They just use things that smell, you know?
Right, yeah.
Very interesting. So, yeah, it has a herbal hoppy essence about it. It excels at yield. Apparently, it grows quite well. Medium to large oval cones that are harvested mid to late season. Has pretty good resistance to mildew and wilt. So for that reason, it's pretty virulent in its growing. Most widely, this is used in European beers. So, not so much. You're probably not really going to hear it much in the craft industry in the United States. But a few examples of beers that use this hop, Pilgrim Hop. Weyerbacher Brewery's Hops Infusion beer actually uses it. As well as Ocean Briggerite, if I said that right. Their Ocean Summer Ale. So there you have it, the Pilgrim Hop. So, Sean is here, and we need a beer. We need a beer to sip on.
Yeah. That's right.
We need to sip on a beer. Now, sometimes we do the warm-up beers, sometimes we don't do the warm-up beers. In this instance, we have chosen one that I don't think Sean's had, and if that's the case, I am very happy to be the person to introduce him to it, because this is one of my favorites. This is Nugget Nectar Imperial Amber by Trogues Brewing out of Pennsylvania. Hershey, Pennsylvania, to be exact. And this is one in their new Pounder cans.
Oh, this is a new can?
Yes. They just started doing cans this year. Prior to that, it was always just in bottles and on draft.
I remember seeing the bottles, but yeah, I haven't seen
the
cans.
There you go. It is a very nice amber coloration to it, like very deep orange.
Yes.
Ooh, and I just spilled some on my pants.
Yeah, that's a nice color.
There's always hazards with this job, including spilling stuff on yourself. Now I gotta lick up the beer on the edges. Alright, so it actually, the way I poured it, we got a little bit of a head to it, which is good for being able to smell pretty well. Because all the carbonation will actually carry the aroma to your nose a little bit better. So it's very clear. They filter the crap out of their beers at Trogues. So the overwhelming majority of the beers that they have are very, you know, see-through.
Yeah, no sediment at all.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, you being a home brewer, you pick up on that pretty much immediately, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you smell on it when you take your first little sniff?
I definitely get a lot of hop right out of the nose. I'm trying to pinpoint it.
Yeah, that's kind of the big shtick with the Nugget Nectar is there's so much hop characteristic just jammed into this beer.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm trying to. What do you get out of it?
Well, I always say this, and people know, I'm sure they've heard it before. I get a little bit of kind of like a candy Smarties type scent on the nose. It's like that powdered sugar citrusy note. And that's a lot of the time, if I smell that in a beer, I immediately think about Nugget Nectar because that was the first place I ever smelled it.
Really?
This beer.
I get the citrus. And I'm trying to think of something else. It's sweet. I get a sweet smell out of it.
Like some sweet malt aspect to it. Yeah,
maybe it's the amber malt coming through.
Yep. And it's, it just smells like so crisp.
Yeah, it does.
It smells like clean.
It does.
Well, I don't want to hold you back. You can go ahead and start sipping on that.
That's really good. Really balanced very well.
Yeah. I feel like it hits you a little bit with the bitterness right up front, and then it starts to really dissipate, and you're getting more of like the malt characteristics that are lingering, like a little bit of a caramelly note to it on the finish, but you're definitely throughout getting like nice citrusy hop characteristics.
Yeah.
With a little bit of pine in there, I think. And I definitely get that Smarties aspect in the flavor.
Yeah, I get that bitter right at the very first taste, and then the malt comes through that balances it out really well.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And then at the end again, you get the bitter at the end. It tastes really good. It's very well balanced.
I mean, I'm a fan. I've always been a fan of this beer, and here's my other thing. I like Pounders, which for anyone who doesn't know out there, it's the can that's slightly larger. It's not the 12-ounce can. It's what is it, 16-ounce can?
16, yep.
For some reason, there are these instances where I don't want to have one beer. I don't want to have two beers. I want somewhere in between. And the Pounders are always perfect for me. That extra 4 ounces is just enough, especially when it's a beer that's like a medium ABV, you know, something like 8% or something. I think this is like 8 or 8.5.
Yeah.
Does it say on? I'm sure.
Seven and a half.
Seven and a half. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that range, you know, anywhere between, like, 7 and 9, you know, I want, like, I want a pounder of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like there aren't a ton of breweries that are doing pounders, but so do more.
Yeah, yeah, I do like pounders, too.
Yeah. It's just perfect if you just want to have a little more than one beer.
Yep.
And a lot of times I do.
Yeah, and it looks like they make their, it's an Imperial Amber, and then it looks like they dry hop it with the whole flower nugget hops.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of built off of their Hopback Amber Ale, which is just kind of like a hoppier straight amber, and called Hopback because of the Hopback process where they run it all through dry hops.
Okay.
And, man, they started doing that, I don't even know how many years ago.
Really?
That beer is from a long time ago, but... One of my favorite stories I always like to tell about Nugget Nectar is that I think it was like the first 2 years they put it out, it was at a certain price point. And then the year, I think it was like the third year that it came out, there was a hop shortage. And they had to spend a lot more money to make Nugget Nectar. And so they were kind of stuck with this dilemma of like, do we actually just not make Nugget Nectar because it's going to be more pricey? Or what do we do? Well, in the end, what they decided to do was, we don't want to gouge our fans. They kept the price the exact same, and they ate the cost.
Oh, that's cool.
And made Nugget Nectar.
You got to appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear stuff like that, in this day and age, because everyone's about making money,
right.
You know, when you hear that, and they're like, you know, for our fans, we're going to eat the cost. It makes you feel good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Makes me feel good.
So. Yeah, like, it makes me like the, just that story makes me like the brewery more.
Yeah, I mean, stand-up guys.
Yeah.
But while we sip on this beer and enjoy it, which we are, Sean, why don't you go ahead and tell me, how did you originally get into craft beer? I mean, did you start with the macros and then move in, or?
I did. I started with the popular cheap beers, probably, in high school and in college. And then...
High school? Wow.
Yeah.
Early, early drinker.
Yeah. My parents were always Coors Light fans, and yeah. So that's, you know, if I'm drinking... during the day and everything, it's probably going to be, you know, to try and pace myself because a lot of the microbrews that I like are pretty strong and you can't really have too many of them.
You can't sip on barley wines all day.
No, not at all. So then, you know, and then college, it was just whatever you could afford. But then, you know, junior, probably sophomore to junior year in college, I started really getting into like brown ales.
Okay.
Like Newcastle was probably my first that I can remember like going outside of the box, I guess. And, you know, I know that's not, like, really a micro. I wouldn't call that a craft brewer, but it's an imported beer.
Yeah.
And so I really got into that. And then, and I was thinking about this the other day. And I went to West Virginia, which is in Morgantown, and they had this beer that came in what almost looked like a 32-ounce growler. And it was called Mississippi Mud. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it, and I've seen it. I've never had it.
It was described as a black and tan. I wouldn't really
say
it was a black and tan. It was probably just a little bit of a darker brown ale, like a darker Newcastle. So then that was my next step. And then I had friends that always liked Sierra Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the total opposite end of the spectrum. So you go from like a brown ale to a pale ale.
Yeah.
And then I started tasting that. And at first it kind of turned me off because you got to really start it's like an acquired taste, to start liking hops and IPAs and pale ales. But then I started getting into the Sierra Nevada and the pale ales, and then just kind of opened me up to everything. And
you know, it's interesting because I kind of had the exact same path as you did. You know, started out with like Coors Light and stuff like that, and moved some imports. I remember doing Newcastle and like Bass and stuff like that, and then. Then I moved on to brown ales. Brown ales were like my intro, like reds and browns were my intro, and then I moved to pale. But yeah, I did move to like Sierra Nevada pale ale because it's such a great introductory pale ale because it's very malty.
Yeah.
So it's more in line with like a brown, so it kind of bridges that gap, but it's got some hops. And then after that, I started getting into stouts, and IPAs were like last for me.
Yeah.
But I kind of like forced myself into IPAs, honestly. But
did you? See, IPAs I kind of naturally went into. I had to force myself into stouts.
Oh, really?
Stouts for me, I really didn't even like stouts that much until recently.
Oh, wow.
So probably like within the last 2 or 3 years I started. Because I think when I was in college, you know, I wanted to try everything. And I wanted Guinness. And I think for some reason it wasn't just a regular Guinness. I got like their extra...
Oh, the extra stout?
The extra stout. Yeah. And it was like way too much for me, and I couldn't take that.
So you weren't really into stouts at that point, and you made the mistake of going extra stout.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't know what I was doing at that point. So, and then I got that, and I tried it, and I was like, oh, stouts are not my thing. And then,
so you said like you just recently got into stouts. How long have you been drinking craft beer, about?
Oh, wow.
Because for me, it's since like 2007. So what, I've been doing it for about 8 years now.
I've probably, when I got out of school and I got a job and I could really afford to buy better beers, probably. So, and I graduated in 03, so probably I'd say a four or five. Okay.
So you're like, oh, look at this. I have a bit of an expendable income. No.
Right, yeah.
What do I spend it on?
Yeah, and I always better had like a little mini fridge in my basement, and then I'd always keep it stocked with different beers, you know.
As you should. Yeah. So what are some of your favorite craft breweries and craft beers at the moment?
Craft breweries. Probably my go-to, as I know we talked about, is probably Dogfish Head.
Oh, yeah.
I really like them because I feel like a lot of beers are similar. Like a pale ale or an IPA, a lot of them are the same. Mm-hmm. And Dogfish, to me, just always does something to set them apart.
They always have that crazy twist to throw in there. It's like, here's a normal style, but we added this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really into them. It's probably my favorite. And then coming up, probably in a close second, like we were just talking about, is Terrapin. They've been putting out some really good beers lately.
Terrapin out of Athens, Georgia, which only showed up in the Maryland market about 1.5 to 2 years ago. So relatively new for us here.
Yeah.
But it seems like they've flooded our market with stuff. Like, you can find them everywhere, and you can find so many different varieties. Like, I know right now, I just went to the liquor store, like, yesterday, and what did I see there? I saw, like, their Hopzilla, I saw Wake and Bake, I saw Moohoo, I saw Mr. Crunkles was still there, I saw their Pineapple Express was still there.
Yeah.
Like, all these 22s and 12 ounces, like, they always have so much available. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, when I first saw it, I thought it was a Maryland thing because of the University of Maryland Terrapins. So then I saw it and I was like, oh, that's cool. Somebody's making, you know, a local beer. And then I realized they weren't from Maryland at all.
But local beer for here in Georgia.
Yeah. So, and then I started trying more of them. And actually, that's what really started me really liking stouts was probably the Wake and Bake out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I like Guinness, but I don't know if I'd, I don't know. For me, a Guinness to me, I guess, is similar to like a Coors Light in the stout world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can see that.
It's just a light, drinkable beer.
Yeah. Well, on the topic of Wake and Bake being, you know, an introductory stout kind of, Adam Miller, who's a friend of the show and has been on a few times, had actually said to me at one point, he's like, I always felt like when I first had Wake and Bake that it was a great base beer to do other things to. And we've kind of had that because they keep putting things out like the Cinnamon Rolled Wake and Bake or the French Toast Wake and Bake or... You know, we had talked before, you and I had tried that bourbon barrel-aged Wake and Bake
with the cocoa nibs.
That was
really good.
Yeah, it tasted like bourbon dark chocolate, which is, I mean, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah.
So good, but yeah, they just do so much, and it's great. But.
And I guess for me with stouts, too, and I always like my beers at a higher alcohol volume. So for some reason, that just, I like it a little better. But for me, stouts are definitely that way because I feel like if I'm drinking such like a heavy, thicker beer, I just want it to have that backbone.
Yeah, you want something.
So that's what I think has really gotten me recently into stouts are more the Imperial stouts. I kind of like them a little more.
Oh, yeah. Like way heavier.
Yeah.
Darker flavors. Yeah. It's more serious.
Right.
Significantly more present in your mouth with its viscosity. I mean, something like a 1050 from Oscar Blues. It's like pours like motor oil.
Yeah.
And I know that one time we were hanging out on our back deck and you shared with me like a 5-year-old worldwide stout by Dogfish Head.
Right.
And that speaks to, with stouts, how well they age. Because honestly, I know I've talked about it before, I don't like fresh worldwide stout because it's so alcoholic. Like, it's so astringent with the alcohol. But if you give it, I mean, 5 years was amazing. If you give it 5 years, the alcohol mellows way out and those... like roasty chocolatey flavors are just so good.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of makes it a little spirity tasting, like kind of bourbonish.
Yeah.
Really good.
And I think some of those higher alcohol beers, like the 15 percenters, I mean, they borderline like a port at some points. It's like yeah, it's kinda. So they just have so they're so complex. So
yeah,
especially when they age.
Definitely. Cool. Well, you have shared a lot of good information about your background with us, and if we're doing another episode, which I believe we probably are, we're going to talk about your homebrewing, how you got into homebrewing and all that kind of stuff. And spoiler alert, he brought some homebrews to try, which we always like. We've had a few homebrews on the show before and always appreciate trying homebrews.
Cool.
So cool. This is the first time ever you will be experiencing this mystery beer tasting ordeal. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and go through these beers. We're going to talk about the coloration. In the instance of these beers that we have in front of us, A and B, I just talk about the color at once, you know, all together, because they look very different. You know, A looks, well, yours looks a little more clear than mine. Mine looks, actually,
yeah, that's got a little
a tad more clear. I probably got the bottom of the bottle, but very orangish, but like a cloudy orange.
Yeah, like I'd compare it to maybe like a blue moonish kind of color.
Yeah, it's a little like it kind of looks like a little like orange juice.
Yeah,
in a sense. And B is very dark.
Yes,
I mean, it looks like a stout. It's dark.
Can't see through it.
I can't see anything.
No.
If I swirl it up, I'm getting a nice tan head that forms on there.
Yeah.
Like real tan head.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for chocolatey notes on that one. Maybe some smoke. Maybe some smoke. Maybe. Take some of that. All right. Well, then let's go ahead, pick up A, start sniffing it. On the show, we've found out that from Turner, thank you, Turner Watts, that if you cup the top of it while you swirl it a little bit, it holds the aroma, and then you can just open it up and get that smell. Ooh, I want to see what you get on that smell.
I get a lot of cinnamon.
Yeah. Cinnamony? Like, at first for me, when I took a sniff, I could not discern any sort of specific spices. My brain was just like, spice.
Yeah,
spice. Yeah. Like, because that's the thing. When you don't know that you're going to smell spice and you get a big whiff of spice, it's kind of jarring a little bit.
Yeah. So to me, my first instinct, well, the color and then the smell, it's some sort of Belgian.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
like a spiced Belgian.
Like a spiced Belgian, I get cinnamon, maybe some nutmeg, just your Belgian's, you know, spiced.
Smell like there's maybe a little cardamom involved.
Could
in
be.
It.
Yeah, that's one of the.
This has some sort of. I'm trying to think of exactly what it is, but it's got some sort of soda smell to it. Like some sort of soda that I've had in my lifetime.
Really?
That has like a spice like this.
Some type of like birch beer maybe?
Yeah. That's actually, yes. Yeah, that style of beer. Or it's soda.
Maybe there's some kind of ginger or something in here. Maybe
that's it. Yeah. That's the ginger.
Yeah, I
have a hard
that
time
now.
Picking that out.
Yeah,
ginger
I,
for sure.
I didn't get it until we started saying it.
Actually, and now that we've pinpointed it that you said that, I smell that a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was smelling, I'm like, well, I'm getting like the cinnamon, I'm getting like that nutmeg, but there's something else in there.
Yeah.
And I guess when I was going with soda, I'm ginger ale, you know?
Yeah, it could be ginger. Yep.
Which I just had a few weeks ago because I was puking my guts out. So nice. That's never fun. I had not puked in like years. Like, I couldn't remember the last time I threw up.
Yeah.
And then I threw up 15 times in one day. And it was, like, the worst ever. And I was like, I want this to end.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You just, like, you can't do it. You can't do anything. I mean, you're weak. You're dehydrated.
Yeah.
You feel like ass. It's just. Well, don't let me hold you up. Go ahead and try that beer. I think we definitely talked enough about the aromas. Well, I get that ginger in there.
Yeah, I get the ginger too. I actually taste a lot milder than mm-hmm. the aroma leads you to believe.
Yeah, the aroma is like very, very kicky in the nose.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting a lot of those types of flavors that are in the aroma, but yeah, they're significantly subdued. Definitely get a lot of that ginger. I get a bit of a lemon peel flavor.
Yeah, it's funny because that initial cinnamon that I got, I don't taste that at all. I get the ginger a lot, mm-hmm. and I get, some maybe a little citrus.
Yeah, I mainly just get, like, ginger and lemon peel. And then it's got, It's got a weird, not a weird, but kind of like a lager type finish to it. You know what I mean? Like that lager yeast type finish that's a little like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just a little, some people have said kind of assy on the finish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like almost like it doesn't leave you with anything. Is that kind of, that's what I get. Like I don't get much of an aftertaste. You know what I mean?
I get the aftertaste, but actually I'm getting a lot of ginger in the aftertaste. It's like ginger and that kind of yeasty aspect. But it's not a bad beer. I'm kind of enjoying the ginger the more I'm sipping on it. The body to this beer, I mean, you look at it and it's like very cloudy and it would make you think that maybe it's going to be a little viscous in your mouth. The body's less than I thought it would be. It's a little lighter, but
yeah,
it's like medium light type body to it.
Yeah.
That's not a bad beer.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think it's a lighter beer.
I'm not a huge fan, and one of the big things for me, I don't really like spices in my beer a lot.
Yeah, me neither.
And I haven't had many beers with ginger, but I think of all the beers I've had with ginger in them, maybe two others, I feel like this is the best use of ginger, in my opinion. So, but then again, that's drawing from like now three beers that have had ginger, so it's not.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had any a beer with ginger in it before, to be honest. So that's why it's different to me.
It's very.
Almost feels like it would settle your stomach or something the way that.
There you go. You know, you can have some alcohol and settle your stomach. I don't think that the alcohol would go well if you're throwing up.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Someone could try it out there. I mean, feel free to try it, people. I wouldn't endorse that, but I also can't stop you from doing what you want to do. That's the other thing. So I am going to cleanse my palate before we go to B here. So yeah, A, not bad.
Yeah, let me do the same.
Would I have that kind of like leftover flavor, like that the any sort of spice notes like ginger or like cinnamon or nutmeg or cardamom or any of that stuff? It just makes me think about like spiced cookies. And like a lot of times if I haven't had a sip of that beer for a while, it's just like the spices sitting in my mouth and it's like I had eaten a cookie. And I'm kind of getting that with this.
Yeah, to me, typically, I'm not a big Belgian beer fan, just because of that. And I feel like those spices are just so overwhelming to your palate that...
They can be.
That's my...
Not a big fan.
Yeah.
Well, let's start smelling on the dark beer here. Let's see dark if we can get any of the notes that I would expect to get. Oh, okay. There's some chocolatiness in there.
Get chocolate.
There's... a bit of a smoky roastiness in there, too. That makes it smell a little like beef jerky. Just a tad bit of, like, smoky beef jerky. A little soy sauce-ish.
Yeah, I get the soy sauce. I definitely get the chocolate. That hits you right away. I'm
trying to see if I can pull. Get a little bit of coffee aspect to it. Not real strong, though. I definitely get more of like that jerky and more of that chocolate than any coffee, but there's a little bit of like a coffee roast type smell in there.
Which is likely just the roasted the malts, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. It's salty. It just smells, it's got this salinity to it in the nose that makes me think that when I taste it, I'm going to get some sort of smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this is all about. All
right, I'm going to taste this one. Getting that salinity.
Yeah, it gets you right off.
Man, that's
right away.
Salty. Is this like salt lick porter or something like that?
Yeah, it's almost like it's a salted chocolate, or you know what I mean? Like
Man, that's high salinity in the beer. I'm trying to see. I do get a little bit of that kind of like beef jerky, soy sauce, smoky.
Yeah,
like all those flavors coming through. But I'm gonna be honest, the body on this beer is significantly less than I expected it to be.
Yeah, me too.
Based on the coloration, especially like the color of the head. Typically when it's like a much darker head like that, it's going to be more viscous, but it's kind of light. It's like medium, like light medium. Huh.
It's not bad.
I'm getting a tad bit of like some chocolate to it. Maybe a little bit of like a... coffee acridity, you know how you'll have like that kind of like acidy,
bitter,
tannic kind of finish from coffee. It's like that. There's
some reason I'm not getting much coffee out of the head, the smell of it, though. Are you getting coffee out of
just the slightest bit?
Yeah.
Not much at all. Just slight.
Hmm. So as a little side note, since I'm just getting into stouts,
mm-hmm.
What is the difference between a stout and a porter?
We actually had a style episode at one point talking about stouts and porters. And basically, what I found through my research is that back in the day, there were porters. And it was only porters. Then they started making porters that were thicker, higher ABV, just like more serious porters. And they called those stoutest porters. Mm. And then eventually those porters just ended up being referred to as stouts. And now in the United States, stout and porter have basically become two separate categories because of the difference there.
So it's basically based on the alcohol volume?
Alcohol volume and just like usually viscosity too. Because if you think about it, the porters typically are a little bit lighter bodied than stouts are. So
okay, so that's what I'm wondering. If this is a porter.
They used to be exactly the same. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm thinking you might be right on that. It may very well be a porter. You'd probably have a better idea than me since you brew. Have you brewed any porters or stouts?
I have not.
Not yet.
No, I'm not. I'm a little afraid. I did do a
little challenging. Yeah, maybe
we can talk on the next one. I did do a brown. That's about as dark as I've gone.
You might want to consider barley wine.
Yeah.
We just had a barley wine tournament recently. Man, was that fun. I would not, I don't even want to attempt another pale ale, honestly. So.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if I could do something like a barley wine, but, you know. I'm going to taste a little bit more A to see what's working on this.
Yeah, let me give that one more shot.
Yep, there's that ginger. Maybe a little clove in there now, too.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you're right, clove. It's funny now. It's almost like I don't get any cinnamon off of it. That was just my initial reaction, and I don't think I don't get any type of cinnamon.
Hmm. Okay. Going between the two, I don't think either of them are like super special for me, but they're also not terrible either. Oh God. This is a toughie. I see which way I'm leaning here.
So what do you do now? Are you just rating them against each other?
Yeah, okay, no. So we'll just do on a 10-point scale individually.
Okay.
So, like, I'm going to go ahead and say, A, I'm going to give it anywhere between 1 and 10, and then B, I'm going to give anywhere between 1 and 10. And then R2 for each of them we'll average together and see which one's higher, and that'll basically be the winner of the episode. But everything is, you know, to refresh everyone, everything is King of the Hill style, basically. So over the entire course of the podcast, everything's competing.
Okay.
So when a new beer shows up, it's trying to knock down what's at the top, which is currently is Bear Republic's Racer 5 IPA.
That's a good IPA.
Very good IPA, yeah. And it's been up there for a long time now. It's been the number one beer for quite some time, so I don't think either of these are going to beat it, but at some point, it's going to come toppling down, I'm sure. Okay, I'm having a hard time on this because there are things I like that kind of gingery aspect in A because I typically don't like it in beers, and I think that they've done a good job kind of restraining it. And in B, the salinity's interesting. The bit of like that smokiness is interesting, but it's not like crazy awesome beer to me. It's just kind of like I could drink it. Both of these beers I feel like I could drink.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same. Actually, for me, I think I like A because ginger is just different to me. And
yes.
And I just haven't had many ginger beers, and it's just different.
Yeah.
And then B, like, yeah, B's almost, I get the salinity, I get the chocolatey, but it's not setting anything, it's not really being set apart from anything.
Well, I'll go ahead and take the lead, and I'm going to give my ratings for A and B. A for me, I'm actually going to put that at a 3. Kind of surprised with it. I'm going to give it that extra little bump. Most people would probably think I'd give it like a 2 or something, but I want to give it that little extra bump because I feel like the ginger was used pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't think it's a beer I would like seek out, but if someone gave it to me, I might drink it. And B, I think I just got to drop it a little lower. I got to give it a 2 because I don't think it's as interesting to me as A is. It's a pretty neutral beer, B. And not like that's a terrible thing, but I actually do feel like the salinity in B is maybe a little bit overpowering. So it's a little bit harder to get all the other flavors in it. So that's kind of my feeling on it.
Yeah, I think that I'll probably do the same with you for B and go at a 2 because, yeah, I feel the same where, you know, kind of like I said, that nothing really is setting it apart and it's just kind of your normal, I feel like, you know, stout or porter, whatever it turns out to be, it's just kind of your run-of-the-mill kind of stout or porter, I feel like.
I like the Snugget Nectar the most.
Yeah, that's very good.
I definitely do. And after having those two beers, if you go back and sip that Nugget Nectar, it's like the hops are even more pronounced.
Yeah.
It just like smacks you. It's in a good way. So what do you want to give to A then?
Do you do round numbers?
Yeah, all round numbers, okay. No halves. All
right. Then I would probably go a little higher for A and say a 4.
Okay.
Because for me, I guess a 5 would just be like, okay, you know, I'll take it or I'll leave it. A 4. So I appreciate the ginger and I think it's a little different. Set it apart a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd go out and, you know, buy a case of it, but...
Right.
But, you know, if there were one around, I'd drink it, yeah.
Nice. Very cool. I'm picking up on a lot more, like, resiny qualities to Nugget Nectar right now. Yeah, really good. I like it. All right. I'm going to go ahead and reveal these beers. We always reveal the loser first. B got beat out by A. A, 3.5. B with an overall of 2. So B, with an overall of 2, loser of the episode is Stone Brewing's Coffee Milk Stout. Ale brewed with roasted coffee beans. It's interesting because we said we could get some coffee, but not a whole lot of coffee.
Yep.
And I did pick up on that acridity at the end. Milk stout.
I didn't get any
milk stout. It tasted salty and kind of smoky, so I don't know about that, man. Kind of weird. Let me see if the ABV is on here. I'm sure it is. 4.2%.
Yeah, I was going to say it has to be below 5.
So low, man. Yeah. So low. Not a porter, though. Definitely a stout. And I'm not going to read anything on these bottles. Stone always puts way too much information on it. So it says it contains lactose. Enjoy fresh 2014 release. We're in 2015. We violated it.
Maybe that's what happened. It turned salty on us.
Yeah, maybe. But okay. Interested to see what A is. A winner with an overall 3.5 is Gingerland. There you go. Yeah,
we hit one.
It's a UFO beer by Harpoon Brewery. It's a gingerbread inspired beer. That's really interesting because I was saying that it was making me feel like it was like a cookie aftertaste. Yeah. And gingerbread inspired. Gingerbread's cookie. And Harpoon is out of Windsor, Vermont. Oh, they have 2 locations, Boston, Massachusetts, yeah, and Boston. Windsor, Vermont.
Yeah, I think the brewery's in Boston.
Yeah, so they have 2. That's interesting. And is there an ABV on this thing? Yeah, 5.2% on the Gingerland. Oh, and so if people want to know, Stone is out of Escondido, California. So let me see if there's any sort of extra flavor text on this. Brewed not baked, poured not sliced, inspired by a classic tale, deliciously spiced. Oh, that's a fun little rhyme. Unfiltered, too.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they made it. I'm wondering if it's, you know, a ginger powder or extract, or if they actually used fresh ginger.
Yeah, kind of surprised by that beer.
Yeah, I was, too.
It was
because,
not
bad.
Because,
to be honest, if I looked at that bottle and saw, like, a gingerbread-inspired beer, I would never touch it. But it didn't.
Oh, yeah, same here.
I was surprised by the taste.
Which I think that just goes to show you never really truly know until you try something.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's kind of something that I've been trying to get back to, which is if I have a brewery that I've had a bad experience with, like a few beers, don't necessarily stop trying because you may find that one beer or two beers or whatever that just really knock you off your feet and you're like, oh man, they actually are pretty nice.
Yeah.
Plus, breweries hone their skills over time. Yeah. Especially if it's like a relatively new brewery, they need some time to really hit their stride. So.
Sure, yeah.
That's what happens. Sean, thank you so much for being on. hopefully we'll have you around for a second one.
Yeah.
Maybe a third, maybe a fourth, a fifth. The possibilities are endless.
They are. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And please never forget to keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.